On the morning of April 19th, 1995, at 9:02 a.m., time stood still. If you remember the tragic events in the spring morning of 1995, you may recall the tragedy of the Oklahoma City bombing, in which 168 people's lives were maliciously taken from them. If you happen to go to downtown Oklahoma City, you will see this memorial, and the memorial of a reflecting pool. And on both sides of this pool stands two walls, one that says 903 and the other one that says 901, to indicate that time stood still at 902. And if you go across the street from this memorial, you'll come to the old Cathedral of St. Joseph's in downtown Oklahoma City. And outside of this cathedral, there's a statue, an image of Jesus, who's got his head down in agony, weeping. And on the base of this statue is the shortest verse in Scripture, which says, "And Jesus wept." In our gospel today, we see that Jesus wept for Lazarus. And why did Jesus weep? He knew that he was going to raise him. Why did Jesus weep for death? God weeps because it was not God's plan that death should happen to humanity. It was not God's plan that the 168 people who lost their life maliciously. It wasn't his plan that you and I would die, that Lazarus died. But we know because of original sin, we know because Adam, who created that one offense, each and every one of us will face death. Each and every one of us will face a time when time will stand still. So when tragedies happen, like the Oklahoma City bombing, or 9/11, or maybe when one of our loved ones is tragically killed, we ask the question, why, Lord? If you had been here, our loved one may not have died. And what hope can we find in such tragedy? I think we find our hope from the prophet Ezekiel in the first reading today. In Ezekiel, he prophesied that God would do three things. He would raise us up from the grave. He would bring his people back to the land. And finally, he would breathe a new spirit in them. This prophecy that we read in the first reading today was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. In the gospel today, he raises Lazarus. He brings them out of the tomb. He brings them out of the shadows of darkness into a culture of life. And he breathes new life into him. Jesus Christ, the author of life, meets death. And through death, Lazarus meets the author of life, Jesus Christ. So, Jesus will open the graves. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe in me will never die." What does he mean when he says we will never die? Because we know that we will physically die. What does he mean when he says we will never die? He means nothing more than if we turn to accept Jesus, we come to believe in him, our souls will never face death. That our souls resurrect each and every time we come out of the graves from sin. Sin is the wage of death. But the gift of eternal life is Jesus Christ. When we turn to him and turn away from sin, he brings us out of death. Our souls get resurrected each and every time we turn to Christ. And that happens first when we were baptized. We were baptized into the death of Christ. We went down into the water and we were resurrected into a new person. So, he will open our graves and have us rise. But he's not talking only about the resurrection on the last day when our bodies will come back. He's talking about a resurrection here and now. Each and every time we come to encounter the person of Jesus Christ, our souls can be resurrected. Every time we come to Mass, when the Father lifts up the host, we are witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we could participate in. So he will open our graves and have us rise. Secondly, he will bring us back to the land. And if you come from an agricultural background, you know that land is something so important. Land means inheritance. And because of Adam's sin in the garden, he was cast out of the land. But God said he would bring him back. Because the people in Egypt, they were too cast out of the promised land. But God said he would bring them back. The people who were in the Babylonian exile, they were too. They were departed from the land. But God promised that he would bring them back. There's no coincidence. When Jesus, he tells Lazarus, come out. The Greek word is Exodus. It recalls the events in the Old Testament when God brings out his people, the Exodus. He brings them out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt and brings them into the land, the promised land. But that didn't happen just then. That didn't happen in the Old Testament. That happens still today, my brothers and sisters. That happens when Jesus Christ, he calls you and I to come out of the bondage of sin. To come out of the tombs, to come out of the shadows of darkness into the light. And when we do this, the land he has promised us, the land in heaven, will be our reward. And finally, Jesus, he breathes a new life. He breathed new life into Lazarus. It's interesting. There's only a couple other times that God breathed on man. The first time, in the story of creation, Jesus breathed into Adam. He breathed the breath of life in creation. But Adam, he rebelled against God. He rebelled and breathed in the life of sin. But the story doesn't end there, because we know that Jesus conquers sin on the cross. And the first thing that Jesus does when he resurrects, he goes to the apostles and he breathes on them. And he says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. So my dear brothers and sisters, that breath of God comes to you and I each and every time we come to the sacrament of penance. When we sin, the breath of God leaves us. But when we come to confession, the breath of God returns into our souls. It's been my great pleasure to be at Our Lady of Hope during this Lenten season and see so many of you devout, faithful Catholics come into the mercy of God in confession. If you haven't had the opportunity to, I encourage you before Easter to make it your promise to breathe in the life of God and come to the mercy of confession. The Church Fathers, St. Augustine, St. Thomas, they all bring up this question. Why can't we just go straight to God to ask him for forgiveness? And they use this analogy in the scripture today with Lazarus. He says, yes, God brings Lazarus out of the tomb. God brings you and I out of sin. But notice what Jesus says. Jesus commands his apostles to untie him. Jesus gives the authority to the apostles to loosen the bonds that held him in the grave. So Jesus breathes new life into you at the sacrament of confession. But it's through the ministry of the priest who unties the sin and the bondage that lead to our eternal death. So, as we prepare to celebrate the great resurrection of Christ at Easter, It is our hope that one day we will resurrect from the grave and be united to Christ. It is our hope that he will bring us back to the land that we are inheriting in heaven. One day, we may see him face to face. But today, my dear brothers and sisters, we live out that resurrection in which we seek the breath of God before it's too late. Time stood still for Lazarus. Time, too, will stand still for us when we die. Let us seek the breath of God before time runs out.